This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I thought I'd go with roll with the changes this morning to ring the opening bell because, you know, sometimes you eat the bar, sometimes the bar eats you. Bar ate us yesterday. Hopefully you won't eat us today. And I'll tell you this, I'm not trying to be negative, but if I hear one more alleged news story about Starbucks, I think I'm going to lose it. Look, if you want to spend $38 on a cup of coffee, go ahead, but caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. Maybe you're going to be overcharged. Maybe you're going to wait in line. Maybe you're not. I don't know. But if Starbucks has news to get out, call a sales department. Now that I've got that off my chest, let's come back and talk to Alex Duranty, senior economist at the Tax Foundation, about tariffs, the effects of them once they're instituted, and who pays, who doesn't. Then we're going to talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, about bird flu and the price of eggs and groceries and more. Got a big show. Stay tuned. Back in a flash, WWL. 6:16 now. I believe whatever rain we had is gone. And that means it's going to be a little bit cooler today than it has been. Highs today of only 66 and cloudy. Highs of 65 tomorrow. More rain on Saturday. Temperatures near 80. Sunday really rainy. Highs near 70. And then a cold front comes through Monday. Highs of only 57. Plenty of sunshine. Alex Durante joins us now, senior economist at the Tax Foundation. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk tariffs, can we?
Yes, sounds good.
I don't know where we are on this. This is kind of like a game, a tariff hold'em, it seems like. I'll see you're 5. Well, I'll raise you 10. I'm in for 20. All right, let me fold on this one. Tell me where is that kind of what's going on here or not?
No, I think that's basically what's going on. It definitely seems like we're in the midst of an escalating trade war. You know, we saw some of this about a week ago where Trump, you know, announced new tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Right now, those are going to be paused for a month as they work on some negotiations. But it does seem likely those will go into effect. And then this week, we also received new announcements of tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. So there's going to be higher tariffs on those and also more of them on different product lines. And, you know, we immediately saw with Canada and Mexico that they had intended to retaliate against us. And China has already announced more retaliatory tariffs on our goods after we announced we were going to be tariffing more of theirs. So right now it definitely seems like we're in the midst of some kind of escalation.
One thing I like is the use of tariff as an active verb, tariffing. I like that. Let's talk about at what point do we as consumers, does it affect us? Because now it's a lot of political posturing, it's a lot of saber rattling, whatever cliche you want to use. You tariff us, we'll tariff you, but maybe it's a negotiating ploy by President Trump. At what point and how does it manifest itself into our money? Because that's what we're all concerned about, right? Or maybe even manufacturing or jobs in the country.
Yeah, That's right. Yep. The short answer is it's very complicated because we know from the economic evidence of certainly since 2018 that it is the importer that is paying almost all of the tariff, not say the country that's being tariffed like China. Now, whether or not they decide to pass all of that cost increase onto the consumers really depends on the type of good that's being tariffed. If it's a final good, generally that's going to be passed fully on the consumer. If it's an intermediate good, they might have some flexibility and other margins to adjust. So they might, instead of passing it fully on the consumer, they might reduce investment, hire fewer workers, for instance. So even if the cost isn't fully passed on the consumer, just like you said, there's still negative effects across a street of industry because firms' input costs are going to be rising under these tariff regimes, and they're going to have to find some way to absorb that cost.
So when it comes to this game of tariff hold'em that I started this conversation with, because that's what it seems like what's going on, has anybody won a pot yet?
Well, you know, trade wars, contrary to what President Trump has said, are not good and easy to win. You know, we have a lot of evidence, going back all the way to the Great Depression on how trade wars play out, and the results have generally not been very good. Contrary to, I think, what a lot of their proponents expect, they tend not to deliver economic benefits to the country that imposes them. And in fact, what we've seen since 2018 is actually a reduction in economic growth because of the tariffs.
It seems to me, and we'll pick it up here, we come back, we're talking to Alex Durante, senior economist at the Tax Foundation. When it comes to a trade or tariff war, or trade war, whatever you want to call it, it seems like the Russians in Afghanistan, that nobody's going to win this. It's just going to be a bloodbath for everybody, and I don't know what we're really going to accomplish. But if you all have any questions about tariffs, I'd like to hear from you. Somebody text it in. You can address this when we come back. Alex, less Chinese goods and less money for the Chinese military. Well, maybe so, maybe not. I think a bigger concern is, and for example, if you're going to worry about China, is the amount of cranes that they have operating ports and what kind of intelligence could be built into those cranes, and could China shut down our port with a simple click of a mouse? That, to me, would be the bigger concern. But we'll drill down when we come back. Text your questions in. The Oquinar Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Alex Durante, senior economist at the Tax Foundation, trying to make sense of tariffs. And somebody texted in, less Chinese goods and less money for the Chinese military. Somebody else texted in and said, the person who texted about China was literally texting on a Chinese-made device, which they own for an affordable price because it's made in, wait for it, China. Alex, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are reasons for sure, to be concerned about China and its emergence as a superpower, and it is true. I mean, they definitely do engage in some unfair practices, such as intellectual property theft. But I think we have to really ask ourselves, if tariffs are really the best ways to address this issue. Going back to let's say about 7-8 years ago, one of the things that U.S. negotiators were working on was negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would have been a free trade agreement with those other countries in the Southeast Asian region.
When does that go back to, Alex? That goes back to when?
Going back to really during the Obama administration, the beginning of the Trump administration. We had these negotiations, and President Trump, announced that he was going to pull out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I think if he had done that, that would have done a lot of good because it would have enabled us to put economic pressure on China and help develop better trading relations with other countries in that region. But unfortunately, what we've seen from the fallout of that is that China went ahead and forged their own agreement with those countries. So now the U.S. Has even less of a seat at the table. But I think if we had moved somewhere in that direction, and also, we have you know, the World Trade Organization, you know, we can continue to bring disputes to them. Usually in their tribunals, the U.S. tends to prevail. So I don't really think that, you know, it's the case that we've exhausted all of our other avenues and that we have to, resort to tariffs. I think there's still other things the U.S. can do to counter China. But I think if you look at the past 7 years since the tariffs have gone into place, we haven't really achieved any of these objectives that we set out to. And at the same time, we've also hurt American workers and manufacturers and the manufacturing industry with the tariffs.
And the argument is, it's a circuitous one, but that if you put tariffs on imports, then the stuff will be made here. But American consumers already have a choice of buying things that are made here if they want to pay more for it, but they don't do it. They buy the cheaper Chinese goods. Is that accurate or not?
Yes, that's exactly right. And also, I think it's important to keep in mind that, I mean, if some of that production is onshored, that means that the prices of those goods will be higher. And if consumers are spending more money on those higher priced domestic goods, that means that they actually have less money to spend elsewhere in the economy. So on net, contrary to what's been claimed, the economy actually ends up worse off because while, say, maybe one industry benefits, there's a lot of other industries that are just losing out because consumers just wouldn't have as much money to spend under that scenario. So I think that's why, I think that's why.
Finish, please.
I think that's why, you know, the idea that, oh, we could just, the companies, they could just onshore production and then they get around the tariffs and then, but our workers win. I think that's why, that's just not a very good analysis based on the academic evidence that we have of tariffs.
I think it's a good idea, but I don't think it holds true. Thank you, Sir Alex Zirani, Senior Economist at the Tax Foundation. Mike Strain, when we come back, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, bird flu making itself known around the country, price of eggs, etc. We'll talk about it with him when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. Nice, clear Thursday, well, cool Thursday morning, not clear. Crescent City Connection lit up against the back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ground of gray clouds, purple, gold, and green, getting us ready for Mardi Gras. Cruise ship docked in air, light shining, city shimmering, just as it has throughout the Super Bowl coverage. And more excitement coming up. We got a big concert announcement coming up at 9:30 from the Dome. We'll have that for you. Then the Saints press conference introducing Kellen Moore at 11:30. And as if that's not enough, Mike Strain when we come back on WWL. 6:44, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's a time to talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, as we always do. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I am doing great. You know, we're getting ready to start planting. It won't be long. We'll start getting our, you know, corn in the ground, and of course, then soon thereafter, a lot of areas, soybeans. Looks like our sugar crop is doing, you know, very well. We're really excited. We've got some strawberries, you know, coming along, and look, crawfish, you can find them now raw. They're in New Orleans at $3.75 a pound for some real nice ones. You know, you can also find some boiled ones, like at Rouse's for $4.49 to $5. So look, it's crawfish time. It's carnival time. And we're very excited. We're very happy. Now is the time.
Well, one good thing, if somebody has a political protest, chances are they're not going to be throwing eggs because they're too damn expensive. Tell me what's going on, Mike, with eggs and bird flu and availability and prices and all that stuff.
Yes. If you look at last week, you know, the wholesale markets, average wholesale price, medium-sized eggs in this part of the United States, wholesale price was $7 a dozen. Mm. Overall availability of from the warehouses going to the markets was about 65%, which means all the stores that ordered eggs got about 65% of their order. With bird flu, you know, we have lost about 10% now of our total egg production over the last 4 months. We're still having ongoing bird flu issues. The bottom line is that we're going to have to vaccinate these birds. We've got to stop this in its tracks. We've lost, you know, a significant portion of our egg-laying hens. And so you just don't, you know, in a week say, look, we're going to increase production. We're producing all the eggs that we can with the hens that we have, and so we've got to have the hens that lay the eggs that become the hens that lay the table eggs. So it's a process. So that and other inflationary pressures, different methodologies that hens have to be raised in to meet California standards, which about 40% of the hens in the United States are raised under the standards set by the state of California because of what's called Proposition 12. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other story, which means they are basically, are quote, cage-free, which increases cost, and then overall inflationary costs. So all that comes together, plus just the lack of availability, has driven price. Now, that being said, you know, what's going to happen? Well, one, people are eating less eggs because of the cost. That will increase some availability and will maybe stabilize the price. However, according to the USDA, we fully expect eggs to go up an additional 20 to 25% this year until we can get supply back up to meet demand.
Does cage-free lend itself to the more rapid spread of bird flu, Mike?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Because with the bird flu, the predominant way that bird flu gets into the poultry houses is by contact with wild birds. So if a duck or a goose, a sick duck or goose, lands into that, quote, cage-free area, and then it can pass that infection along. And so because they're out there on the grass or out on the ground and not within a contained building that has an air filtration system, it is more likely to cause, you know, to result in that infection. It can still happen in the hen houses that are totally enclosed and under air filtration cooling systems. Can still happen because the virus is so hot, just the mere presence of a wild, sick goose on the property can have the possibility of transmitting it into those chicken houses. And also, you know, can be transmitted by the workers themselves, so extreme biosecurity. And we can keep watching this, you know, this bird flu, because now, you know, we're calling it, one of the names is metapneumovirus because it's jumping from species to species. A new type was seen in Nevada you know, just last week, and then that particular type infected a human being that worked on the poultry farm. So, you know, the bird flu that's in our dairy animals, and the bird flu, dairy flu, you know, that the high path avian influenza bovine type is also trying to jump into people. The good news is that it has not moved person to person, but we have to be very vigilant, and we need to, you know, move along. And there are companies that are trying to develop vaccines for our poultry, for our beef, for our cattle, and we may need to have some on side, you know, as we, you know, change and go into next flu season to where we can have better protection against avian type as well as, quote, the human type flu.
Better protection for the animals or for humans?
Everybody.
Okay.
Everybody. The whole ultimate goal of public health is to make sure this disease doesn't get into the human population. Everything we're doing is to focus on, one, yes, for the animals' health, keeping the animals alive, keeping them in production, but keeping this virus out of the human population. We talk about the disease pyramid. Humans are right at the top. They're at the capstone of this pyramid. And everything in the environment, plants and animals and insects and wildlife, you know, any diseases are down at the base of that pyramid. And the goal is that it never makes it to the top. And that's something we're working very hard on, have to be vigilant on. But there's a lot of virus out there. The high path avian influenza in wildlife is everywhere. And it's predominantly in wild ducks, wild geese. And then it can spill over into our commercial flocks. You know, not only for our you know, chickens, you know, and egg laying hens, but also in our, you know, commercial poultry production, you know, for chicken, but also into our dairy herds. The reason it gets in the dairy herds, it is transmitted predominantly in the milk. The virus likes setting up in the mammary glands and can actually shed in the milk for weeks before the animals become sick. And so that's one of the ways that it got out of control. It started off with 3 herds in the Texas Panhandle and is now in more than 900 plus herds in 19 states.
Mike, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. You're a scientist. You're a well-respected veterinarian. I know you spent a lot of time in the lab. You've forgotten more about this than I could ever understand, but 10% of the egg production lost in the last 4 months seems pretty substantial to me. And somebody texted in, I don't know if they're trying to be funny or not, but said vaccines and stay-at-home orders for the chickens, ha-ha. I know that there's a lot of political blowback after COVID and so forth, but that being said, this is substantial to me when you're talking about 10% of egg production in the last 4 months, then spreading the population, jumping species. I'm talking about food supply here and the prices that we're going to pay. This seems pretty important to me. We'll talk more when we come back with Mike Strang, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:56, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Mike Strang, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, you are an elected official. You are a scientist. 10% of the egg production in the last 4 months seems significant to me. And then you're talking about dairy cattle and everything else. How concerned are you that politics gets in the way of science here? Because the two never get along, do they really?
Well, that's part of the discussion. You know, generally speaking, when it comes down, when you have to make those hard health decisions, mm-hmm. the politics backs up, you know, in favor of proper health. And if you look in the veterinary world, we vaccinate our cattle, mm-hmm. we vaccinate our dogs, we vaccinate our cats, we vaccinate our horses. And under very limited circumstances, do we vaccinate our poultry, we vaccinate our swine. That's why it's called herd health. And so there are a number of companies, for instance, Moderna, has been awarded $590 million to develop a vaccine against bird flu. Mm-hmm. And so there are many companies that are developing, working on vaccines.
Mike, let me jump in for one.
The animal world.
Yeah, let me jump in for 1 second. Do we have a vaccine against this bird flu, or they're working on it?
We are very close.
Okay.
I think we have some types that could be used. We could develop them quickly, and I think we need to go ahead and push it across the finish line. The issue with vaccinating our poultry is that our foreign trading partners say they will not buy poultry from the United States, poultry or eggs, if we vaccinate our chickens against bird flu. Well, the bottom line is if we don't start vaccinating our chickens, we may not have any poultry to sell them. So it's time that we need to go ahead, vaccinate our chickens like we vaccinate everything else, and put this disease to rest. We need to stop this disease, one, to protect our food supply, but two, to make sure it does not spill over into the human population.
So if we don't...
We also need to develop a way to vaccinate wildlife.
If we don't, where are we 4 months from now?
Where are we 4 months from now?
If we that's what I'm saying.
Another 10 to 20% of our poultry production. You know, if you remember a number of years ago, we lost hundreds of millions of birds, which caused the price of chicken to go astronomical. If you remember that, you got up to $10 per chicken, and poultry is a very necessary protein. So if we don't, things will get significantly worse before they get better. But the bottom line is that this virus is continuing to modify itself. We saw the new cases in Nevada, and the virus wants to jump into the human population. So we've got to eliminate the virus in the environment, protect our food supply, and keep it from ever getting into the human population.
Everybody loves Mike Strain. You got we got some powerful people in Washington on Capitol Hill with Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise. I know you've been talking to them. Are they listening to you, Mike, and on top of this bird flu situation?
I think so. You know, I think, you know, there's an anti-bias against vaccination of humans, and that's an individual choice. But vaccinating our livestock, it's something we've always done, and if we don't do it, you know, basically, you know, we will lose our food supply, and that's something that I'm very sure and comfortable that we're going to be able to do, and that, you know, politics is not going to get in the way of that, because, again, if you choose or not to choose to get your flu shot this year, that has components to protect you from high-path avian influenza.
That's your choice.
Because the virus is trying, again, to modify itself.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.